पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगव गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रे कपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोधीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरननदी कैवर्तकत्केशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदैरहरः पीपीयमानम् मुदा भूयात् भारत पङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சார்ய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம் So Lord Krishna talked about a series of spiritual sadhanas leading to jnanam and moksha. The series of sadhanas must automatically finally culminate in jnana yajna or jnana yoga, right? So, and the jnana yoga is nothing but a spiritual education program which is under the guidance of a competent acharya. And the Acharya himself has gone through a Jnana Yoga program under his Guru through a long Guru Shishya Parampara. A person who comes under this Guru Shishya Parampara and who is confident enough to share this knowledge and who is aware of the methodology of communication, right? So from such an Acharya, we have to gain this knowledge by exposing ourselves to a spiritual education program, right? And that is why if you see our, just before we start the class also, we remember the Guru Parampara and we first pray to the Guru Parampara before we continue. So what is the benefit of this spiritual knowledge will be the next natural question, right? So the answer is moksha or liberation, right? Now what is moksha? Is it something that we gain after death? Or is it something which we can enjoy here and now before death, right? Now, if it is going to be a posthumous benefit, we only have to believe, right? And there's no way of verifying. We cannot verify and come back. We cannot come back and fight with our guru saying, you promised something posthumously, it's not happening. It doesn't work that way, right? So, posthumous benefit is not a very compelling benefit, right? So, therefore, Lord Krishna says that whatever be the posthumous benefit, yes, there will be a posthumous benefit. We need not bother now. I will talk about the benefits that we can enjoy in this life itself. So, that is what Krishna wants to enumerate, right? And in the three verses, 35, 36 and 7, right, he is going to enumerate these benefits. So, in the last class, we saw the 35th verse wherein Lord Krishna talked about two types of benefits. What were they? First one was moha nivartihi, right? Moha, delusion, conflict, freedom from conflicts in life, especially in making decisions in life. And as in the last class, we were discussing a human being always has continuous situations where he has to take decisions. So what happens is there are a lot of life-changing decisions also, right? Now, in the case of animals, they don't have a free will. For instance, they are born vegetarians, live as vegetarians and die as vegetarians. Similarly, the non-vegetarian animals are programmed that way. Whereas we can take a conscious decision to whether be a vegetarian or a non-vegetarian. That's a big decision and there is a conflict associated with it, especially if you are not born and conditioned to a vegetarian kind of diet, right? So, similarly, even in a cricket match, right, which team has to bat first, whether they have to bowl or bat, right? And then finally, when one team wins and the other team loses, so many people will blame the captain for having taken the decision. Still, you are having these conflicts in life on a day-to-day basis and the decision has to be made, right? And once the decision is made, that is more important. With whatever information we have, limited data we are taking that decision. Now, once we take that decision, we have to go all out and complete whatever we have taken up. We cannot stay confused after taking the decision and continue to live in conflict, right? That is very, very important. Now, none of us have the capacity to understand what is going to be the result of our decision. We only know with whatever data where which direction it will go, right? So, the greatest advantage that jnanam gives a person is courage to take bold decisions with available data, and he will confront his own decisions. Whatever happens, he is willing to take up responsibility for the decision, and I'm willing to receive any consequence that may come according to the law of karma. It is this boldness which gives courage that helps a jnani to go with the decision, right? Very, very practical benefit, right? So, with regard to the future, jnanam gives the courage to welcome any future, and with regard to the present, gives him the strength to go through the situation, right? Very, very important. So, this is moha nivritti, right? So, I don't postpone decisions. I take decisions. There are some people, you know, who will keep on going from one astrologer to another, but will never take a decision. Even in marriage, you can see that happen, right? So, those are all situations that, you know, a jnani can confront directly and take a decision, because he has the belief in himself, the conviction and the strength to face any future that unfolds once he has taken the decision, right? So, Lord Krishna also tells the same thing here. After the 18 chapters, he says, I have given you enough data through the 18 chapters of teaching, Arjuna. I don't want to take this decision for you. I want you to take the decision of whether you want to fight the war or not. Right? Yata ichati tata kuru. He says that. Right? And a weak mind avoids decision. It tries to procrastinate. Right? Jnanam saves us from these problems. This is first benefit, is mohan rivritti. Second benefit that we saw was Veda Nivrittihi, right? Veda Nivrittihi is seeing the entire creation, right, as God and as oneself, right? So, he is able to equally say that the entire creation is resting in me, and he is also able to say entire creation rests in God, right? Both. So, he is able to say both these statements because he has discovered the fact that Jivatma and Paramatma are not two separate things. Both are nothing but one and the same Atma. I remember the ocean and wave example, right? And how the wave and ocean both are essentially one and the same water. And Jivatma and Paramatma are superficially different but essentially Eka Atma. So therefore, Jnani says, I am a Adhishtanam of the whole creation, right? So, from Dasoham to Soham. What is Dasoham? I am a Dasa of God and God has to save me. From that to Soham, I am actually God, right? And God is me, right? So, to that. So, it is the biggest leap in spirituality, and it starts with Aham Dasaha Asmi, and then it goes to the God is in me, right? So, for this, how can we proceed on this journey to get to this state? Through Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga will help in mental refinement, right? So, these are the first two benefits that we saw in the previous class, in the 35th verse, right? So, continuing. Api chedasi papebhyah. Api chedasi papebhyah sarvebhya papakrittamah sarvam jnanaplavenaiva vrijinam santarishyasi. Now, one of the problems that human beings face is the problem of regret and guilt, right? So, especially when we come to spirituality and we become more and more exposed and we become mature, we become aware of dharma and adharma, right? So, we become very sensitive to dharma and adharma, and we understand the mistakes with respect to adharma. And all the sensitivity goes into our mind, and starts going to the past wrong actions that we have done. Right? We are often reminded, like Arjuna himself, when he sees Lord Krishna as Vishwarupa Ishwara, he admires Lord Krishna as a Bhagavan. And suddenly he goes back. Previously, how he treated him. In the first chapter, he actually treats him like a charioteer. And a charioteer is a person who actually washes the horses. He's like a, you know, a person like our car, the drivers who maintain the car, etc. He used to maintain the chariot, wash the horses, etc. So Arjuna is filled with a great sense of remorse that he treated Bhagavan like that, right? That time he did not know it was Bhagavan. He thought Krishna was his friend, right? And he treated him like that, and he had taken a lot of liberty with him. So suddenly he feels guilty, right? You are God and I treated you like this. And many people have this feeling, and there are also others who, you know, commit suicide because they are overpowered by guilt, etc., right? So always it happens. Even apparently we hear that the person who bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, later the guilt killed him, right? It is so overwhelming, right? So now you can feel permanently condemned, right? If you feel that, then it becomes an obstacle to spiritual growth. Therefore, Lord Krishna consoles the entire humanity saying that every human being is bound to commit mistakes, either because of immaturity or because of over desire, pressure, etc. Right? You have pressure on profit, you have pressure on turnover, right? So things are bound to happen and the human being is bound to commit mistakes. And the saying goes that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future, right? So therefore we don't have to feel condemned, right? And therefore Krishna says that jnanam, right, helps in papa nivritti, sarva papa nivritti. That's the third one, right? So Lord Krishna says, don't allow the guilt to condemn yourself, right? And hereafter you take a firm resolve that you will follow the spiritual path and slowly get away from all the other problems. Then you can discover moksha, right? So the guilt, you should be able to convert it into a healthy resolve and not let it lead to self-condemnation, right? So, therefore Krishna consoles the entire humanity saying, Arjuna, even if you are the worst sinner, Arjuna is not, right? Arjuna, even if you are the worst sinner, don't condemn yourself. Remember that even the worst sinner can change the way of life and gradually he or she can progress and attain moksha. Spiritual knowledge is a powerful prayachitam. In fact, the most powerful prayachitam is spiritual knowledge will destroy all the past papams. Just as a dreamer who has committed sins in his dream life, right? And when he wakes up from the dream, everything has gone away, right? Similarly, a waker, when he wakes up to his higher nature, all the papams will go away. So similarly, spiritual knowledge will destroy all the papams, right? So this shloka is very, very important to overcome self-diffidence, right? So Lord Krishna is imagining an hypothetical situation here as Arjuna having been a sinner. Sarvebhyaha papebhyaha, right? Let us assume, Arjuna, that even if you are the worst sinner, then also you can be saved from condemnation. And remember that in Hinduism, very unique, permanent hell is not there, right? Permanent heaven is not there. So both are not there. We don't have an eternal heaven or an eternal hell, right? So even if a person is a worse sinner, he will get an opportunity to reform himself. Not only that, once he has come to jnanam, he says, sarvam vrijinam santarishyasi. He can cross over the huge ocean of papam that he has created and in which papam he is drowning himself, right? Here sin is compared to a vast ocean. How the ocean, this person will cross over with the help of a wonderful boat. What is the boat? Jnana plave naiva. It's a boat which is, you know, the jnanam, which is the boat. Therefore, the third benefit of jnanam is sarva papa nivartihi. So the meaning of this verse is, even if you are the worst sinner of all sinners, you will cross over the entire ocean of sin by the boat of knowledge itself. Continuing, yathai dham si samiddognihi, yathai dham si samiddognihi, basma sat kuru terjuna, basma sat kuru terjuna, jnanagni sarva karmani, jnanagni sarva karmani, Bhasma sat kuru te tatha. This is the fourth benefit of jnanam. And the fourth definition of benefit of jnanam is sarva karma nivrittihi. The previous one was sarva papa nivrittihi. This is sarva karma nivrittihi. Just wait for a couple of minutes and I'll explain this, right? Why these are two different things. Now, what are the three types of karma we studied in law of karma, right? In introduction to Vedanta. Sanchita karma, prarabdha karma and agami karma, right? Sanchita karma is all the punyams and papams we have accumulated in countless past human janmas. Because this is not our first human janma, right? So, from beginningless time, we have taken several janmas, plant, animal, human janmas. So, in all the human janmas, whatever we have accumulated is sanchita karma, right? So, huge amounts of sanchita karma is there. And a portion of that gets ready for fructification for the current janma. And that karma is called prarabdha karma, right? So, the type of physical body we have, the type of parentage we have, the type of place we are born in, right? These things are influenced by the fructifying sanchitam, which is otherwise called prarabdham. So, prarabdha means the fructifying one. Even the duration of our life is influenced by prarabdha. Now, we use the word influenced because prarabdha karma alone does not determine your life. That is not correct, okay? To some extent it influences, but there is a second factor which is my own free will. So, thus prarabdha affects our current life. And then the third karma is when we are exhausting prarabdha as human beings, we have to take responsibility for our actions because we are using our free will to do the actions, right? So, we are supposed to know what is right, wrong, dharma, adharma, immoral, moral, ethical, unethical, legal, illegal, etc., right? So, I have to avoid wrong actions. Otherwise, I have to take responsibility for these actions, right? So, when I am doing actions, I am earning punyam through good actions and papam through bad actions or wrong actions. This is only there in human life, not in animal life. Why? In animal life, there is no free will, right? So, whatever is earned in this human life is called agami karma. So, sanchita karma will not touch us now. The prarabdha karma will impact us and at the time of death, the prarabdham will be exhausted and the agami that we earned also will join the sanchitam, right? Whatever did not get exhausted. So, Bhagavan will look into this supercomputer and out of the next bundle of sanchitam which has to get ready, then the next set will come down and it will continue. The prarabdha will come down for the next janma, etc. It will go on and on and on. So, this is called sarva karmani. So, what will jnanam do? Lord Krishna says, jnanam is so powerful that it will destroy all the karmas. That is what is said here. Jnanagnihi. The fire of knowledge is so powerful that it will incinerate. It will turn into ashes. Sarva karmani, all types of karmas, like what? Like a huge conflagration of fire. The example is given in the first line. Yatai dhamsi samiddognihi. Agnihi means fire. What type of fire? A huge fire which is carefully kindled, nourished and converted, right? Into a huge fire. Whatever we dump will get burnt. So, sarva karmani will be burnt by this agni, right? Very, very important. So, Krishna says, right, however he wants, the fire of knowledge will be powerful based on the knowledge, how much we have assimilated. So Lord Krishna wants study in the class alone will produce only the flame, right? Now when you go out of the class, you forget everything, right? So therefore it is very important that we do consistent and systematic study, Shravanam, and then after completing all the 18 chapters of Gita, most of your questions will be answered. Then you start dwelling upon the teaching and then get your doubts clarified with the teacher, that is Mananam, and then you dwell on the teaching so that you can assimilate it, right? That is Nididhyasanam, right? Then the knowledge will become a huge bushfire kind, right? Big one. So that is called Sammita Agnihi, right? So now with this, the pancha, all the papams that we do will get destroyed. Jnana Agni Sarva Karmani, right? Jnanam will totally destroy Sanchita Karma. So Jnanam will help a Jnani avoid Agami Karma. How? Because we saw, no, that he does action without doing action. We saw one important shloka. So he is not attached to the action. Therefore, Jnani will not have any Agami Karma. Sanchita Karma will get burnt and he will live his life to exhaust the Prarabdha Karma, right? So, and the Prarabdha Karma is so weak that it will not disturb a Jnani. Why? Shastra gives a very beautiful example. A seed is capable of germinating into a plant, right? But if you roast the same seed and then you plant it, it has lost its capability to become a plant, right? So similarly, Jnani's prarabdham becomes insignificant for the Jnani, right? And therefore, Sanchita is destroyed, Agami Karma is avoided, and prarabdha has been rendered insignificant. Therefore, Jnanagnihi Sarva Karmani Basmasat Kurute, right? So in the previous shloka, Jnanam was said to destroy all the papams, papanavritti. Now this is Sarva Karmani, which includes everything, right? So, karma here refers to papam and punyam, and from the Vedantic angle, punyam is also a problem only because you will get some other better janma and you have to go through that janma also. So, the punyam also in Vedantic parlance has to be exhausted or has to be burnt, right? Very important. So, both papam and punyam are treated as karmas to be exhausted or burnt, right? So, that is why the shloka talks about Sarva Karma Nivartihi, right? These are the benefits of the Jnanam. And now Lord Krishna will go to the glorification of this Jnanam. So, what are the four benefits we saw? Moha Nivartihi, Bheda Nivartihi, Sarva Papa Nivartihi and Karma Nivartihi, right? So, in this stanza, we saw the meaning is, O Arjuna, the fire of knowledge reduces all karmas to ashes, just as a well-kindled fire reduces the fuel to ashes. Continuing. Nahi jnanena sadrisham, nahi jnanena sadrisham, pavitramiha vidyate, pavitramiha vidyate, tatsvayam yoga samsiddhihi, tatsvayam yoga samsiddhah, kalenatmani vindati, kalenatmani vindati. In the first line, Lord Krishna talks about the glory of Jnanam, right? As the greatest prayachitam for all the karmas that we have done. Because there are so many remedial measures mentioned in the Shastra, like doing Rudra Ekadashi, that is one prayachitam. Going to Ganga and taking a bath is a prayachitam, right? Then we have whole prayachita kanda in scriptures, which talks about remedial measures for varieties of papam we have done, right? They say if you have not done Shardam, go to Rameshwaram, go to Kashi, etc. Like astrologers will also say that. Lord Krishna here says, all the other prayachitams cannot remove all the karmas. They can only remove some of them, and even if they remove the papams, they don't totally remove. Again, we are going to get later. Whereas, Jnanam is the only one which removes all of them totally and permanently. Therefore, he says, Jnanena Sadrisham Pavitram. Pavitram is a purifier, prayachitam, a remedial action, right? So, Jnanena Sadrisham is Jnanam. Nahi Vidyate does not exist. Because even if we do prayachitam, since we are human beings with limited knowledge, again unknowingly we commit, right, mistakes, right? Whereas, and continuously you will have to do prayachitam if you keep on doing mistakes, right? Whereas jnanam is permanent prayachitam. Therefore, jnanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate. So, having talked about the glory of this knowledge, Lord Krishna is very sure, right, that everybody who listens to this will be interested in this jnanam, right? So, he has glorified it so much. So, now Lord Krishna wants to use this opportunity to talk about some of the important disciplines which we should focus on, right? What are they? So, in the following shlokas, the important do's and don'ts for a spiritual seeker comes up in the next few shlokas. So, the second line up to the end of this chapter is the discipline part, right? So, what is the first discipline? Yoga Samsiddhaha, right? Jnana Yoga will be efficacious only when the mind is prepared. Otherwise, Jnanam will appear beyond our reach. So, therefore, if Jnanam should become possible, we should be confident that I can claim what Jnana Yoga is, says it. Everything that is opposite of what we know, right? We should be confident and claim that, right? Jnana Yoga tells you the opposite of what you are used to, right? You will always say that I am small, God is big, right? Everything, every single learning of Jnana Yoga is just the opposite of what you have believed about your own self, right? So, for instance, we say, we think I am a small being within the vast creation. This is my idea, right? And what does Vedanta say? The whole creation is a small bubble in me. Who am I? I am the infinite. Every galaxy is like a bubble in the universe, right? And galaxy is a bubble and I am having all of them in me, right? It's mind-boggling to accept that. So, Shankaracharya says this in Atma Bodha, I am the infinite ocean of consciousness in which bubbles of matter come up, bubble up and dissolve. So, thus my notion is world is big and I am within the world. Vedanta says, I am not within the world, world is within me, right? And we say we are full of problems, worries and fears, right? We say dukkha swarupam, imperfect, unhappy person I am and all, right? Whereas, Vedanta message is just the opposite, right? It says you are the ananda swarupaha, you are perfect, right? Etc. So, it requires a lot of preparation to accept, understand and assimilate. Therefore, Jnana Yoga must be complemented by the powerful Karma Yoga. Now, this is the biggest difference many of us will feel when we come to this study. Because it is not like studying physics, chemistry and all. Whatever you study here has to be practiced and implemented. Only then you will see your FIR reduction, right, or your triple C increase, as Swamiji calls it. As we move forward, we have to see the difference. But only if we practice these other disciplines, right? So, the powerful Karma Yoga, which is the Pancha Maha Yajna, is very, very important, right? So, Karma Yoga must complement the Jnana Yoga. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, Yoga Samsiddhaha. Refined by the complementary Karma Yoga, a person should attend the Jnana Yoga classes, right? Now, it is not that we should not attend Gita class if we are not perfect. If we are attending Gita classes, then we are not perfect, right? It only means that it will go more towards Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. It will help you progress, right? But to experience the full benefit of Jnana Yoga, you have to be mentally prepared through Karma Yoga for the teaching to get imbibed completely, right? Systematic study alone is not enough. It prescribes certain acharams and anushtanams, right? So it is very, very important. And Swamiji always gives his example. He says, every chemical reaction takes place in at an appropriate temperature and pressure. And cryogenic reactions take place at very low temperatures and some at very high temperatures, right? So similarly, Vedantic reaction can take place only in people who follow certain disciplines in the lifestyle, right? Without this discipline to complement, Vedanta will just become another academic information which I can quote, right, in seminars and management talk and all, which I anyway do that, right? In my role, I talk about all of that. But if I don't practice some of these, it's not going to help me. And any type of karma yoga you can practice. You have multiple karma yogas. Depending on your nature, you can practice any of them, right? Or a combination of them, right? So, yoga sam siddha, Krishna says, having refined the mind, right? Then, kale natmane vindati, in due course, you will gain the benefit of moksha, right? Atmani means with your mind, aham brahmasmi jnanam will take place and you will be convinced of that too, right? And Krishna uses the word due course because jnana yoga is a long drawn sadhana, right? You have to go through shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. It is not a sudden revolutionary event, right? Krishna says don't expect something suddenly flashy to happen, right? If at all something flashy happens, something else is a problem with maybe our eye or something, not to do with jnanam, right? Vedanta does not promise any such thing. It is knowledge, it is wisdom that I should receive and I should be convinced and absorbed in my out, and there should be a change in my outlook based on that wisdom. How I respond to the external situation, relationships, etc. When we observe and when we introspect, right? We will know if we are making a progress, right? So, kalena, in due course, you will see the benefit of this jnana yoga. So, the meaning is, indeed, there is no other purifier in this world like knowledge. Prepared through yoga, one attains that knowledge in the mind easily in time. So, this is karma yoga as a preparatory discipline.
Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, Tatparasayatendriyah, Jnanam labdhva param shantim, Jnanam labdhva param shantim, Achirenadhigachati.
So, in this verse, Lord Krishna emphasizes three more important disciplines. One is called Sanyatendriyaha, mastery over the sense organs or management of the sense organs, not letting the sense organs loose to run all over the world, right? Sometimes you see a person is walking with the dog, you wonder whether the dog is pulling the master or the master is in control of the dog, right? So, this is a very, very, very important point to think about. Our sense organs must be in our control, right? Otherwise, if they are loosely exposed to anything and everything, that, then unnecessarily that part of the world will enter our sense organs. We should remember that sense organs are the only gateways through which the world gate crashes into our mind. Therefore, the mind is open. And if the sense organs are not controlled, then anything and everything may enter. That may pollute the mind in the form of kama, krodha, mada, matsarya. And a polluted mind will find it difficult to receive the knowledge. Like the vessel in which the milk is poured must be clean. Otherwise, the milk will get spoiled. Similarly, mind is a vessel. When it is poured into the mind, it should not get curdled. Right? When jnana is poured. So, don't allow junk food or rubbish to enter the mind. Put a board on no admission without permission. Consciously, we should be able to allow aspects to get into our sense organs. And so, you should not be in a way that it happens that if you need to say not have food on a particular day, without your conscious, eating or drinking water, it should not trouble you to such an extent that your tongue forces you to eat. Right? You should have control. That's what, it's an example. So similarly, TV, right? You can try. There are various experiments you can try, whether you can sit without seeing TV, without seeing mobile for 3 hours, all of these, right? Whether you can sit silently for one day, all of these we can test to see if our sense organs are in our control. And in the second chapter, if you remember, Krishna gave the example of an animal, right? Kurmaha or tortoise, right? Or turtle, right? It withdraws when there's a danger, it withdraws all its limbs, right? So, sense mastery is the second discipline, right? And it is referred to as Dhamaha in Sattva Bodha, right? So Karma Yoga is the first one, second one is Dhamaha, and the third one is Paratvam, commitment to spiritual knowledge, commitment to Jnana Yoga, because the benefit I will derive will be directly proportional to my commitment. Now, if I've got a half-hearted approach, right, like whenever I don't know how to spend time, I will go and, sit and listen to Gita class. You will get punyam by listening to Gita. That is not a problem at all, right? We are not saying don't listen if you're free. But if you do not have a commitment to regularly attend the class, write notes, go back, review, etc., that is not a serious and committed study. Punyam through just Shravanam of Gita will happen. But your ultimate objective of Jnana Yoga Sadhana is not going to happen. Right? So, the benefit is directly proportional to commitment. So, may you be committed to consistent and systematic study. Be regular. Right? Do not take it lightly. Right? The other problem is, as Swamiji says, generally, we do not teach this for a dakshina, right? We don't charge fees. Now, if you see, most of, especially in today's world, when we pay a lot of money and learn, then we are very serious and we attend the classes without taking a break, a leave and all. Whereas when something is given free, you don't have the same commitment, unfortunately, right? So, we have to move beyond that, right? Because this is not given out for a fees, doesn't mean that you can take a casual attitude. That is what Swamiji keeps repeating. But most importantly, listening gives you some punyam, for sure, right? But a committed study is needed for the benefits to be achieved, right? So, the next important virtue, tatparam, is commitment as well as, now, next is Shraddha. Because commitment alone, and they are in fact related, commitment and Shraddha are both related. Shraddha is not exactly translated as faith, it is best left as Shraddha, right? Shraddha in the scriptures. So understanding the unique status of the scriptures, right? Now, our scriptures say that Shastra is actually is equal to a sense organ, which means it's a independent and valid source, right? So for that you should have Shraddha. You never question what you see through your eye, right? Or hear through your ears. So similarly, Shastra is a totally independent and valid source of knowledge, right? So Shraddha in the scriptures will only make you believe or committed that this is an independent source of knowledge, and then your commitment and respect for it will grow. So Shraddha is very, very important, right? So that is the next discipline that has been talked about here, right? And this is a very unique field of knowledge, and we can gain this only through the scriptures, and for which we need to understand the non-replaceable status of the scriptures. And I should know, right, when I study the scripture, it is so important and I have to approach the scripture reverentially, right? That is called Shraddha. Now, with the awareness that what the scriptures can give, nothing else can give us, right? This is called Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam, right? Jnanam Labdhva. Thus, when I go with Shraddha, I will get this knowledge. and the benefits of this knowledge. Param Shantim Adigachati, right? Param Shantim Adigachati, the benefit which every human being seeks in life is called Shantihi, right? And many people acquire many things in life, and by the time they are 70 or 80, they have accomplished so many things. But in the process, they have lost something very fundamental. They say, my peace of mind is gone. I have children, I have grandchildren, I have a house, I have a huge bank balance. Everything is there except one thing, that is peace of mind, which you cannot purchase anywhere, right? There's only one place, which is the Shastra and the Shastra Janya Atma Jnanam. Atma Jnanam born out of Shastram, right? So, therefore, Krishna says, Param Shantim, the peace that surpasses everything, right? A peace which is permanent. A peace which makes me feel my life is full and complete and I don't miss anything. This Purnatvam or fulfillment Adigachati is attained through Jnanam. Achirena before long, if you are committed to this teaching, right? So, one who has faith, who is devoted and whose organs are restrained, attains knowledge. Having attained knowledge, he will soon attain supreme peace. Continuing. Agnyascha shraddhadanascha samshayatma vinashyati nayam lokosti naparah nasukam samshayatmanah. To highlight the importance of Shraddha in the scriptures and the appreciation of the unique status and its validity, Lord Krishna wants to contrast Shraddha with the opposite qualities, which are the weaknesses of certain intellect, right? So Krishna says, whoever has got these problems, which are all opposed to Shraddha, which will obstruct Shraddha, whoever has got these intellectual problems, they will perish both spiritually and even materially. What are those problems? Krishna enumerates. Agnyaha vinashyate. The spiritually ignorant person will spiritually perish, which means he will lose fulfillment in life. And the three fundamental things. What are they? Peace, security and happiness. So these three fundamental things he will not get in life as long as he is spiritually ignorant. The second problem is Ashraddha Janashya. The one who does not have faith in the scriptures, especially in the Karma Kanda of the scriptures, right, he is called Ashraddha Janaha. This person will perish because he will not believe in the scriptures. Therefore, he will not accept Punyam and Papam. So, he will not talk about Punajarma, Janma and future birth also. And scriptures talk about a healthy lifestyle, not only for better current life. It talks about better future life also, called paralokaha and ihalokaha is this life. Paralokaha is life after the current life. When scriptures give instructions, they take into account the present janma as well as future janma. Now, if I don't believe in punyam, papam, swargam, narakam, punarjanma and all of them, I don't believe. Therefore, he leads an atheistic way of life. And due to that, he loses out to the next janma also, right? So, he will lose this janma as well as the next janma also, right? And the intellectual problem is the lack of faith in the scriptures, including Vedic rituals, right? And the third intellectual problem that he will have is samshaya atma, being skeptical about everything. Not only scriptures, but being skeptical or doubting everything in life, right? He will lose moksha sukham and he will lose paraloka sukham also. In this world also, he cannot enjoy anything because when he approaches anything, he has got a doubt. You give him a glass of water, he will wonder whether it's good water or bad water, right? So, every small thing he will have doubts, right? So, if a bus is going in one direction, he will ask 10 times whether it will go in that direction, etc., right? Even though he has seen the board and gotten, right? So that is samshaya, right? Samshayatmanaha, right? So Krishna says a skeptical person will miss everything. Ihaloka sukham, paraloka sukham and moksha sukham. So his life will be all the time tension only, right? And all these three people will perish. But among them, samshayatmanaha, for a skeptical person, ayam lokaha nasti, ihaloka sukham nasti, na paraloka sukham, right? So have faith in scriptures, have faith in our traditional acharya and follow for some time and see if you are getting the benefit, right? So if you cannot study the entire 18 chapters, at least 2 or 3 chapters experimentally you have to study. But you have to study continuously, because by now people who are attending the classes would have understood that to enjoy the teaching to even this extent, you would have to go through 1-1.5 years of teaching minimum, which is go through introduction to Vedanta, go through the first few chapters, understand the basics, and then only you are able to appreciate the teaching. Then come putting it into practice, practicing self-constraint, mind sense-constraint, sense-restraint, mind control, all of that comes after that, right? So, only after following the scriptures for a few years and trying it out, we can even say that we can reject the Gita, right? Unfortunately, many people reject it even without giving the benefit of doubt, right? That is the sad thing. We can only tell them, we cannot force them, right? So, skepticism is the worst intellectual enemy. Arjuna, give that up and develop Shraddha. So, the meaning of the shloka is, the ignorant one who has no faith and who has a doubting mind perishes. For one who has a doubting mind, neither this world is attainable, nor the next, nor happiness. Right? Continuing.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam, yoga sanyasta karmanam, jnana sanchinna samshayam, jnana sanchinna samshayam, atmavantam na karmani, atmavantam na karmani, nibhagnanti dananjaya, nibhagnanti dananjaya.
If a person decides to have Shraddha in the scriptures with an open, non-critical and objective mind, and he goes through the scriptures, sooner or later he will discover that the scriptures are talking sense. And even if I see something wrong in the scriptures, you will develop a feeling that it is because of my own misunderstanding. And if I study it properly, then I will understand, right? And once I develop that Shraddha, I will be able to go through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Then I can find the benefit in this Janma itself, which is freedom from all the shackles of karma. That's what Krishna says here. Karmani na nibadnanti. A person who starts with Shraddha, later goes through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. That Jnana Nishta, He Dhananjaya, Karmani na nibadnanti. Punyam and Papam will not shackle him. Especially karma shackle is experienced in the form of anxiety and fear of the future. So, because astrology also keeps saying, you know, you have Shani Dasa, you have Surya Dasa, whatever. So, all these things create anxiety and fear of the future, right? And our imagination runs wild, when, especially as we grow older. Now, with this, the greatest advantage of Jnanam is, I am ready to welcome the future, whatever be the type of future. This courage is the direct benefit of Jnanam, right? Courage with regard to future and strength with regard to the present problems. Therefore, karmas will not frighten that person who is such a person. Yoga sanyasta karmanam, the one who has gone through Shravanam consistently for some time and has gained the knowledge that I am Atma. What type of Atma? Akarta Atma I am. I am the Akarta Atma. He drops his identification with the karmas done by Anatma. When I am identified with Anatma, the body-mind complex, then I am a karta. When I disidentify and claim my higher nature, I know that I am not connected to karma. Again, going back to the third chapter, he is also able to raise his level, right? From akarta ahankara to akarta atma. This is called internal renunciation of karma, right? Karma sannyasa, karma abhimana sannyasa, otherwise called kartritva sannyasa, the doership, right? Or the experiencership sannyasa. Due to which alone this particular chapter was called Jnana Karma Sannyasaha. Through knowledge I learned to disidentify from the karmas of the anatma. This is called the process of Shravanam. Therefore, Jnana Sanchinna Samshayam. Jnana Sanchinna Samshayam, he goes through the mananam process in which the intellect is allowed to raise questions regarding the teaching. The whole process is, we should go through Gita once, then when once we have gone through, we are supposed to, after we complete, we think about it and then ask questions. And then actually, Swamiji says, record all the questions in your book. And at the end of one course of Gita, see how many of them are answered. Most of them would get answered. Otherwise, you can always discuss with a guru. Now, he also recommends that after going through Gita once, go through all the Upanishads, then come back to the Gita and it will give you a totally new meaning and the exposure is totally different. The experience is really, really enjoyable as you go through the second round and the third round of, you know, Gita classes, right? So, and you go back to the questions regularly and you will see that the Guru is able to actually complete point by point, right? So, beyond all this, after completing Gita and the Upanishads, in the Brahma Sutra also, the teacher will teach how to ask questions and how they should be dealt with, right? So, after Mananam, all the doubts are clarified and not only I can answer my doubts, Brahma Sutra is studied to answer others' doubts also, right? So, Brahma Sutra is meant for responding to questions raised by other systems of philosophy, right? And then we have to practice Nididhyasana, which is our dropping the ahankara and claiming I am the atma, right? The ahankara is so powerful. I am a man, I am a woman, individual, husband, wife, etc., right? So, going beyond that and claiming my real nature is Nididhyasana and it takes a while to assimilate the teaching and then go through this, right? Atmavantam, the one who has learned to claim Aham Brahmasmi, uses ahankara as a vesham for worldly transactions, right? In the previous janma, maybe I was a buffalo or an octopus or something. In this janma, I am a human body. This is another temporary vesham and I must learn to claim that I am the atma behind the vesham, right? He is no more bound by karma then. In short, he will attain moksha once he learns to claim the higher nature and claim the akartritvam, right? So, in short, he will attain jivan muktihi. So, Arjuna, my message to you is, out of the entire fourth chapter, right, the final message is in the last shloka, which we will do now, right? So, Arjuna, actions do not bind one who has renounced all actions through knowledge, who has destroyed all doubts by knowledge and who is mindful.
Tasmad ajnana sambhutam, Hristam jnana sinatmanah, Hristam jnana sinatmanah, Chitvainam samshayam yogam, Atishto tishta bharata, Atishto tishta bharata.
Therefore, Arjuna, you should get out of your fundamental doubt regarding the role of karma yoga and role of jnana yoga. Although Krishna had clearly defined the role of jnana yoga and karma yoga in the second chapter, in spite of this, Arjuna had the confusion, right? And he asked the question, which yoga is better? The very question revealed the confusion, right? And many people have this confusion. They say that they follow Karma Yoga. That person follows Bhakti Yoga. Another person follows Raja Yoga. Another one follows Jnana Yoga. And many people think these are all optional yogas you can choose from. Right? This doubt is so universal, and Arjuna falls into this trap, asks which yoga I should choose, and Krishna says, understand there is no choice, no choice at all, because both are complementary, right? What Karma Yoga gives, Jnana Yoga cannot give, and what Jnana Yoga gives, Karma Yoga cannot. Therefore, understand that you have to follow both, and this is one lesson you should note, right? Second lesson is, initially the stress is on Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga is followed. I listen to the scriptures all right, but I pay more attention to my way of life. Initially Jnana Yoga will not make sense because it is of a higher and subtle teaching. Therefore initially we will not be able to absorb. Does not matter, right? Just keep attending, paying attention to Karma Yoga way of life, right? Again and again. In the fifth chapter also, again Lord Krishna will speak about it. Therefore, Arjuna, you should study the scriptures, but you should pay attention to Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means doing your duty. Don't run away to some other ashrama. Doing the duty for you means fighting, and Arjuna, in your case, Mahabharata war happens to be your duty. Right? Very, very important. Therefore, practice Karma Yoga, but not at the cost of Jnana Yoga. You should study the scriptures also. And he says, Enam Samshayam Chitva. May you get rid of this doubt. What doubt? Which one is better? Right? There is no doubt here, right? By the clear knowledge, you know that they are not optional. They are complementary, as one purifies the mind and other gives knowledge. So, like the Ayurveda doctor prescribes Patyam and Aushadam. Patyam is for preparing the body and Aushadam is the medicine, right? And it, medicine will work only if the Patyam is there. So, similarly, Karma Yoga is Patyam and Jnana Yoga is Aushadam. So, if you leave out any one of them, then you will have a problem. So, understand their complementary role. And may you remove the doubt. What type of doubt? Right? Samshayam, Chitvaina Samshayam Yogam, right? So, doubt born out of misconception. Unfortunately, even now people have this doubt. They say moksha has 4 paths, 5 paths, 6 paths, etc. No. The Jnana Yoga is the ultimate path that will lead to moksha, but the preparatory discipline is Karma Yoga, right? So, scriptural study forms part of Jnana Yoga and both are complementary. Removing the doubt, Yogam Atishta, may you concentrate on your Karma Yoga. For that, what should you do? Uttishta. First you get up. Arjun has dropped the bow and arrow. He is seated on the chariot seat, right? So, first you get up, he is telling, Uttishta, hey Bharata. With this, the chapter 4 is over, right? Om Tat Sat Iti, Om Tat Sat Iti, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su, Upanishad Su, Upanishad Su, Brahma Vidyayam, Brahma Vidyayam, Yoga Shastre, Yoga Shastre, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yogo, Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yogo Nama, Nama Chaturto Dhyaya. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Next week we will do a summary of the fourth chapter. And we will start the fifth chapter thereafter. In case there are anybody, your friends, who would like to join in from the fifth chapter, you could request them to actually do the summaries of chapter 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and then they can join from the fifth chapter. It is better not to wait for the whole entire Gita to be over, which will take a long time. So we can have question answers now. In case we have anybody interested, one second. Okay, I don't see any hands up symbol here. Okay, there is some question here. Bhakti yoga, importance in the relative ranking of yogas. Yeah. Bhakti yoga, I'm not sure if you attended the introduction to Vedanta class, because I did talk about bhakti yoga being, it's like a substratum of karma yoga as well as jnana yoga, right? So there is both bhakti yoga, both jnana yoga and karma yoga. The foundation is only bhakti yoga, because it can either be sakama bhakti or nishkama bhakti, or we pray to God in the form of ekarupa ishvara, anekarupa ishvara or arupa ishvara. So both jnana yoga and karma yoga, it is all intertwined with bhakti yoga. That is how we treat bhakti yoga, and we don't treat bhakti yoga as a separate pillar. We believe that it is in and through both jnana yoga and karma yoga. So it is also even through upasana yoga. There is, all these three yogas cannot function without bhakti in it. Any other questions from anybody else? Okay. Now that we've completed the fourth chapter, and if you have any questions, you can always write in also this week. So along with the summary, I will try and handle those questions. Otherwise, today's class, I think we can complete. Dhanyavadaha. We'll meet next week.